Take off your jacket, because it's time to get deep under the covers with a loose read.
Morena, Jenna.
Morena.
Morena.
I'm loving competing with the overtime of the football.
Are you a footy fan?
No. But yeah, that's okay. I appreciate people having their hobbies. Oh, oh, something happened. We can... Have you?
Oh my God.
You,
I just heard someone kid be like, "No!"
do the listeners know that there's a group of people watching it?
Yeah, outside? We've told them. Oh, everyone, okay. There's lots of crowds downstairs and big screens playing.
Oh, so you could listen to us listening to the people.
Did you hear that, everyone?
Quite an inception, eh?
We just got a text from someone before that said, "I'm not into football, but I'm into you two talking about football," which I appreciate.
Yeah, I'm feeling good.
We're
about
way
that.
Better than the Football World Cup, eh?
We are.
Okay, books though. Books.
Okay, I feel like I'm next to Eden Park or something, you know. Yeah. Anyway, books. Yes, that's what we're here for. Morena, everybody. I am reviewing Ben Lerner's new book called Transcription. So Ben Lerner is a poet and novelist and who's known for quite spare, considered and intellectual writing, I would say. Mm. And in a recent New York Magazine article or interview, he said, "A sign of maturity as a writer, I realize now, is that I no longer pretend that I understand exactly what my work is saying or doing." He does know one thing for certain, the New York Magazine says, it's not a fucking beach read.
Oh, I like
so
that.
So that's to set it up the tone for this book. But it's a very slim novel.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And it's written in three sections. And in the first section, which sets the tone for everything to come, is this unnamed narrator arrives at this hotel in Rhode Island. Mm. And he's about to interview his mentor, a 90-year-old architect named Thomas, who's a leader in his field, and this is likely to be his final interview.
Mm.
The narrator, he's been to this place before. He plugs in the directions that he's already familiar with into Google Maps. He calls his young daughter. He's using his phone in every step of arrival, and then he drops his already cracked phone into a sink of water.
Oh.
And so his phone is now a corpse, and he does not have a recording device for his interview with Thomas, for this final interview.
Ooh.
And this is something that he cannot admit to Thomas when he's with him. He gets his phone out and pretends to be recording him. Thomas is very old school, doesn't have a recording device either. So this interview is just man to man.
Okay.
Voice to memory.
Yeah.
Mm.
And I guess what this sets up is, and what as the novel goes on in the two further sections, we kind of see a little bit of a fallout from this, or perceived fallout from this interview. We meet Thomas's son, Matt. Both the unnamed narrator and Matt, they're friends and they have young daughters. One has been, one of the daughters has been diagnosed with FTT, failure to thrive, maybe the saddest condition ever.
Felt that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Been there, sis.
And, you know, but then the phone is not a bad thing for her because they use it for the soothing technology, ASMR videos, which actually helps her. So it's a book that's not like completely plot driven, but it's laying out all these questions for the reader, which I think is one of the best things about this book is it captures a mood that you are likely to feel, like you're likely to put yourself into this novel.
Yeah.
The cover is black and shiny, like a switched off a sleeked iPhone, and you can see your face in it with this big red record button. But it's asking, what is real? What is fact or fiction? Is a recollection of a conversation false?
Mm.
It made me think of Marguerite's painting, This Is Not a Pipe.
Mm.
You know?
Yes.
And so it blends science, art, technology, and it has element. It is kind of, I don't want to put people off, but it is kind of a COVID novel, but it's like, it's post-COVID, but thinking back to COVID. And the disconnected voice of a phone. what can be said on the phone as opposed to face-to-face. It's about fatherhood. It's about the anxiety of youth. And it doesn't say smartphones are bad. It doesn't give answers, but it's kind of ambiguous.
Mm.
And reminds me of Katie Kitamura's 2025 book, A Shortlisted Audition, which I might have reviewed on here. I can't remember anymore, but I would have reviewed it last year, which kind of you're not really sure as a reader what is real and what's not. So this is a novel for those people that like a kind of high concept read, I would say.
Yeah. Amazing that so many layers would be managed to fit in such a slim read.
I know.
Because I feel like looking at the cover and when you first started talking about it, I was like, oh yeah, okay, going to be a classic sort of anti-phones, like technological sort of debate read about surveillance or whatever. But there's actually so many sort of quite philosophical layers of existentialism and absurdity by the sounds of things.
Exactly, that's right. And so it's a book that I read it a couple of months ago actually, but I still think about it. And I still think about that not being able to record that final interview and what that means. And I think, you know, if you're like a journalist or interesting in how you transcribe the information you take in, or even how everybody, you know, even the meaning of a word could be different, so you could be speaking the same language but speaking a different language. It really got my brain whirring. And I think a lot of people are thinking about how they use their phone and how they interact with their phone and the good and bad parts of their phone, and that battle, that constant daily battle of those good and bad parts.
I also feel like at its very most surface level, I'm a serial phone murderer. So, like, I really relate.
I have heard of when you've broken your phone.
I've broken so many phones. I reckon it's because my body just, like, rejects the technology.
But do you even have a phone case on?
Nah.
Oh, see, there was
just raw-dogging. But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, the more phones that I break, the less it means to me, and the more I'm like, oh, I should just go back to the OG, like...
The brick.
Except I've got a friend who had a brick phone for a while, not looking at anyone, Nicholas Lindstrom.
Yes.
And he... It was, like, so awesome for him, but then so miserable for his mates who had to organise around him because he didn't have a proper phone.
He seemed so stoked.
He was stoked, and I was annoyed.
You hear of people saying they live a life without a phone and or without social media, and then I'm like, but do you have a partner in your life that's doing the mental load of you not having either of those things? Because sometimes I think that's likely to be the case.
Yeah.
It's just my two cents there. But speaking of the booker, this is rumoured to be on the booker long list. I mean, it could be anything, you know. People just throw names out, but on lists, this is coming up. Okay. And the booker long list is being announced next week.
Ah, cool.
Which is really exciting. It really sets the tone for our reading for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
Our best-selling book at the bookshop, we may not even know what that is yet, because usually the booker winner is in the top five of the year. So the unknown is really great.
Oh, cool. How exciting.
I would like to read all of the booker long list. Me and Nate and Wendy did it last year, but we'd already read six, so reading the next seven wasn't too much of a stretch. So we'll know next week whether, based on what we've already read, whether we'll continue the journey. But I bet Nate will do it. He likes a challenge.
Yeah, go Nate.
Go Nate. Get stuck in.
Sounds like an awesome book.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's a good present book to your intellectual friend, you know.
Give it to your smart cookie friend, everyone. We've been talking about Transcription by Ben Lerner. Thank you so much, Jenna.
Thank you. Shelf now. Have fun watching the football if you are. Nothing's happened yet, so that's our live.
Well, there was
commentary.
A red card, I think.
Ooh. Yeah, there was a red card.
Wow.
So it's the end of the 90 minutes. Who knows, eh? But that was fun anyway. Thanks, Jenna.
That was fun.
That was Loose Reads.